Today on We Really Like Musicals and We Have Opinions About Them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses, the musicals. We're talking about Phantom of the Opera. So if you are wishing you were somehow here again listening to this podcast, good news, you've passed the point of no return. I am your angel of music for the next hour, or at least I hope that's how you think of me. That's all I ask of you. Masquerade! Hey everybody, welcome to We Really Like Musicals and We Have Opinions About Them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses, the musicals. I'm James and...
I'm Elise.
And this week... we got a special guest, but we'll talk about him in a second, because first, you need to know what musical we're talking about. I guess I said that at the beginning. Gosh, you know what? I'm having a great night tonight. we're talking about The Phantom of the Opera, a.k.a. Friend-Zoned the Musical. Thank you at RGRichards10 on Instagram for that alternate movie title. Remember, if you have alternate movie titles for us, you can just reach us on Instagram at We Really Like Musicals or on Twitter at WRLM Podcast.
Yep. Yes.
And also on Facebook probably somehow, and search the interwebs for us anywhere and it'll probably pop up. Just type in musicals and my face pops up and Elise's, the back of her head pops up. Her face doesn't awesome. Pop up. I don't know why it doesn't.
No, that's right.
Anyways, guys, we got a guest. Elise, you're not the guest. I mean,
you've never asked me to be your guest.
No, you're the co-host. But
I always forget.
But Elise, you've never met this man before. I, on the other hand, have known this man my entire life. And this man is my uncle, Len. Hey, Len.
Let your mind start a journey to a strange new world. Leave all thoughts of the life you knew before. Close your eyes. Let your spirit start to soar.
Mm. Yes. Wow. Yes, yes, yes. That was, you know what? I would watch a version of Phantom of the Opera with you just reciting it like spoken word.
Yeah. Kind of doing a William Shatner kind of thing?
Yes, yes, very much so.
I could probably pull that off.
Was it you that for Christmas you got like a Hobbit or what was it, Lord of the Rings or what book did you get? It was in like some other what was that?
It was William Shakespeare's Star Wars trilogy.
That's what it was. Wow. Oh my gosh.
I didn't even know it was a thing.
Yeah, now I'm trying to think of like if we could do any musicals in like Shakespeare you know, like imagine Moulin Rouge imagine Little Shop of Horrors Shakespeare style.
Oh, totally.
Dadu.
We have to all say it.
Interestingly enough, there's a musical called Kiss Me, Kate, which is a version of a Shakespeare play.
Oh, did not know that.
Yeah, it's The Taming of the Shrew.
Ah, you know what else I found out today? That apparently there's a sequel to Phantom of the Opera, too. It's Phantom of the Opera 2.
They made a third one?
Yeah. Mind blown. If you would have named this musical, Lynn, you chimed in on the Instagram. What was your alternate title for this movie? Do you remember?
I sort of have to look it up on Instagram.
That's okay.
I can't remember.
Elise will just sing the first song while you look.
Isn't that like an overture?
Yeah, it's an overture. No, you have to sing. You have to sing the song where they're at the auction. And he grabs a little monkey chime box, and he's like, "A beautiful thing," or whatever he says. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Back in the day, things have happened.
A box in the shape of a barrel organ.
This is why you're on this episode. We need you, because we cannot quote it.
A friend of mine actually introduced me to this musical when I was in high school, and that's a lot longer ago than I'm willing to admit. So,
well... were you in high school? Well, now I'm gonna get personal. But were you in high school when it came out?
No, not yet. I was in middle school.
Okay, so you're not as old as I thought. Because didn't this come out in like 88 or something like that?
Shots fired. 87, I believe.
Okay.
And I started high school in the fall of 89.
Did you find that alternate movie title yet? Or did you give up?
I found it. And my alternate title was, I'm starting to think this theater isn't safe.
Yes.
It sounds better spoken.
Yeah, when Elise read it and she said, garbage. No, she... Elise,
I don't talk like that.
Throw it out.
Yeah, you do. You said garbage.
Throw it out with the trash.
Little baby. what would you call this, Elise?
I would call it...
Wait, before you answer this question, how many times have you seen this musical? Because this wasn't your first experience, right?
Probably thrice.
Thrice. Okay.
Yeah.
Good number of times to see this musical. Not a good band. So. What would your musical title be? What would you throw on this? What am I trying to say?
Yeah. What type of gas would you throw on this fire?
There
yes.
We go.
Ooh, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Emmy. We ain't Emmy? In Kansas anymore.
Nice. What? So direct reference to the movie.
I mean, it's just that I didn't have time to prepare, so that's all I got okay. right now. You're welcome.
So, Lynn, you said you saw this musical in high school.
Not exactly. I was given the soundtrack in high school.
Okay, so
like the full every word of the musical soundtrack.
I guess it came with like a CD book or something.
It did, and for several years, that was all I had, and I listened to that thing regularly because I just loved it. Mm. I actually also in high school got to see the musical by Ken Hill that inspired Andrew Lloyd Webber to say, you know, I can do better than that. Mm. And he did.
So enlighten me. So he had a Phantom of the Opera musical before Andrew Lloyd Webber's?
Yes, he did. It was kind of off Broadway. Mm. Way off Broadway.
Did not know that. Rate that fact, Elise.
Wow. Wasn't ready.
She's not even paying attention.
Yeah.
This is just a Brown family reunion right now.
I've been coloring over here. Let me know when y'all are done. I rate that a 7.4 on the
Feeling kind of good about that. My first fact was 75th percentile right there.
Yeah, I'm going to beat you, though. Now I got to get that 7.5.
This is a competition.
Now, that was just my first.
Oh, gosh. Saving the big guns for later. Okay, that's fine.
I'm not sure I have any big guns, but I'm going to look around and see if I can find them.
Okay. So, anyways, back to the... Did he use some of the same music, or is it all original music?
Weber's version is completely original, whereas Hill's version actually added lyrics to... classical music. Not all of it was well-known classical music, but it was pieces by Brahms, by Strauss, by Beethoven, by Mozart. So he took existing music and just added to it lyrically and did a few original things.
Okay.
Whereas Weber, from start to finish, was original.
I did not know that.
More than one sense of the word.
Yeah. So then you listen to the CD quite often, I assume.
I did.
So when was your first experience actually seeing it? Was that not until the movie came out, or did you see it in another production?
I got to see it at the Sanger Theater in New Orleans in the late 90s.
Okay.
It was a touring company, but they were fantastic.
Gotcha.
Absolutely fantastic. So I didn't get to see Michael Crawford, didn't get to see Robert Guillaume, but I did get to see a live production, and it was great. If I ever had a chance to see it again, I would.
Now, so since you've seen it live and on the, like, I assume you've seen the movie version as well.
I have.
What's like the difference? Because I was thinking, like, when I was watching it on the movie, that like this would probably be a lot cooler if I was actually in a theater seat and it felt like I was actually in the opera house, you know, with the chandelier above me and all that stuff.
Valid.
Well, to be honest, it really made me appreciate some of the things they did in the stage production. as much as the blocking of the movie, as well as they did that, and the way that they were able to make the story flow as it was originally imagined, the stage show accomplished so many of those things with such limited opportunities. I mean, it's really hard to stage special effects with somebody getting pulled through a mirror on a live stage.
Yeah.
But they did it.
That's cool.
The falling chandelier live. They did it.
Whoa.
There's a giant chandelier over the audience that rocks and sways.
Oh, that's cool.
And that gets your attention.
Yeah. So I actually heard, this is not one of my facts, Elise, but you feel free to rate it.
Yeah,
I actually heard, okay. I actually heard that in April of 2004, they had a live version and they actually recorded the crowd's reaction to the screaming, like they're screaming to the chandeliers falling. And that's what they actually used in the movie version, which I thought was kind of neat. So you got a little bit of the actual theater. And also
got
I didn't
one upped on the facts, I think.
No, whatever. I didn't even know it was based on a, so like Andrew Lloyd Webber just being like, I could do better.
And yeah, I didn't know that either.
He was really involved in the movie too, which I didn't realize until the credits went. And he like wrote a different song for it as well.
Oh wait, you mean a different song for the credits?
Yeah.
The one that you were like, turn it off, it's trash.
I don't know if I said that.
And I said, no, come on, it's a good song.
Yeah, that song.
Yeah, okay, well, maybe you don't appreciate it as much as you think.
Lynn, do you have a favorite song in this musical?
Man, that's a tough question, because there are so many just brilliant songs in this musical. I've always been partial to All I Ask of You, to Wishing You Were Somehow Here Again, but I think just the highlight of the musical to me is actually the reprise of Music of the Night.
Okay, so remind me.
Yeah.
Remind okay. we just now, watched it last night, but it's been a long time. So.
It's been a good long while.
Music of the Night is one of the highlight songs of the musical.
Yeah, that's a good
song. It's when the Phantom is singing to Christine after he's kidnapped her. There's just no nice way to say it.
He totally did.
Well, after she has been returned, and they have had the performance, and the chandelier falls. Raoul takes her to the roof and sings All I Ask of You.
Okay.
Well, the Phantom, after they leave, kind of has a reply.
Oh,
and that always just sends a chill down my spine.
Can you sing it for us?
Not in the same octave that he does, but yeah, I could.
There are a lot of high notes in this. You know, they start out and it's always like, bum, 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 bum. Like,
yeah, the Phantom's a tenor. I'm a bass.
Tenor? I hardly know her.
Oh, no, that's my joke.
I know. I stole it from you. Sorry.
Why have you done this? Awful.
Okay, but anyways, could you give us a little something, something?
Let me see if I can remember the lyrics. It was, I gave you my music, let your song take wing, and now how you've betrayed me, denied me and betrayed me.
Yep, awesome.
So, yeah, I screwed a word up in there somewhere.
Yeah, that's all right. We don't know.
And then Elise takes over with her
the same
voice.
Octave.
Yeah. Elise, do you have a favorite song?
I sure
or
do.
Or just none of them. None of them. You're like.
I do, but I, you know, it's I feel like a lot of the songs kind of run together.
They do. They're, I mean, it's an opera, you know.
They're kind of designed to, really.
Yeah.
Ah. So yeah, they're kind of, it's hard to remember like which one, help me, which one is it when he's leading her down the hallway? Isn't it the,
that would be called Phantom of the Opera.
That's just the Phantom of the Opera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the one.
That's why they keep bringing that up in the song.
Hey, you know, all I remember is the long, long hallway. And the beat gets, like, really intense. and she gets that glazed over look.
The first time I saw this, I was, you know, I think everybody's familiar with that chord progression, the bum 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 bum. And so I really, you know, the first time I saw it was in theaters, actually, in 2004. Although I was familiar with it just because I used to listen to all your CDs, so I probably listened to it at some point. So I saw it in 2004. Me and a buddy of mine went to go see it, didn't really know what to expect, and we were all just kind of waiting for that. And then when it kicks in, it has, like Elise was saying, it's got that driving beat, and it feels different. There's electric guitar, there's like a solo in it, and
it
at first I was like, I don't know if I like this, like as part of this musical. You know, I was like, I don't know how I feel about it. But then the other day when I was getting ready to listen to it and I was like listening to the soundtrack, I was like, this song freaking rocks.
Right.
Like, I don't know why.
This song is amazing.
Yes, it's so good.
I feel like if I was like in the NBA, I'd like listen to that right before I go out, you know?
Yeah.
Get pumped up.
I will say though, I still don't know. Like at first I didn't know if I liked the song. Now I'm for sure I love this song. I think it's such a good song. But I still don't know if it fits in this musical because of all the other elements of it. It seems so operatic. And this one just, you know, and I had this idea, maybe you can enlighten me, Lynn, because like I was one when it came out. So was there like a push for this one to be part of like a commercial success, like on the radio or something? Is that why it sounds so different than the rest, or?
Well, I think honestly, it's an artistic choice. I think it's to provide a counterpoint to Angel of Music, which just had previously gone through. They wanted to add some intensity to it while the Phantom was, again, kidnapping Christine and dragging her through the bowels of the opera house.
Yeah.
While singing this wonderfully operatic arena rock song.
Yeah. It did remind me of like a Queen,
the Parisian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like The Show Must Go On or one of those like Queen songs. I don't know, one of those later Queen songs.
Yeah, but I think that's why I liked it, because it was just like so intense. It really grabs your attention, and I think, you know, just because you're kind of wondering like, why is she just going with him? But it's just like this whole illusion and this whole like intensity. It's just like, oh, yeah. Where are we going? It's awesome.
It really kind of does a good job of kind of underscoring the peril that she's in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is. It does kind of give the, like, something about the notes chosen there. It's really suspenseful, really dangerous sounding.
But it's cool. It's cool, dangerous.
Cool, dangerous.
You're like, I would do that.
But only the first time. The second time they go through the hallway, when you see like it's not exactly the same thing, as like she must have been in some weird daydream under the Stupid. Phantom's spell or something like that, because the second time there's no way I would go down that hallway. Absolutely not. I'm not sure, I don't know what my favorite song is, but I will say the first time I saw it, the song that I sang the most afterwards was Masquerade. That one gets stuck in my head.
That just gets into your head.
Yeah. Why are you laughing, Elise? I don't. I know why you're laughing.
No, actually, I wasn't thinking about that. But go ahead.
There's a dance scene in the movie during Masquerade where this guy does his solo bit, and it's like the most like robot like 80s type of dancing. Don't really get where that came from. Yes.
But it's like also very
great impression, Lynn.
Modern mixed with robot, mixed with like hippie. I don't know. It's it's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. I don't know. I really like that scene anyways. Maybe it's just all the masks and
the Phantom's costume in that scene is amazing. And that's another one of those things where on the stage, it just comes out. He just comes out and everybody's just, their jaws hit the floor.
Yeah. We were talking about that too. Like that scene, he comes out and he's like, you guys haven't given me my money and I want you to perform this musical I wrote called Don Juan or whatever. And then he's like, I'm like, why is nobody grabbing this guy right now? Like he's out there for so long. I don't really understand that. I mean, whatever. Suspension
of disbelief. I think people are afraid of what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah. For so many years going up to that, he was this specter, this wives' tale, this legend that, did he exist? Doesn't he exist? Now they know he exists. He has killed people. They don't grab him because they are scared to death of him.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Especially since he showed up in a giant skeleton costume.
Yeah.
Because they're not entirely sure if it's a costume.
Mm. Oh, I didn't even think of that. I guess because I'm just like, oh, that's Gerard Butler. Was this your first exposure to Andrew Lloyd Webber or no?
Actually, it was. It was my first of many Webbers because I went seeking more of his stuff afterwards.
Okay. Elise, have you seen it? You don't even know if you've even seen any other Andrew Lloyd Webber.
I think you told me Jesus Christ Superstar is one.
Which, by the way, a lot of the melodies in this one in Phantom of the Opera reminded me of Jesus Christ Superstar.
It's like they were written by the same guy or something.
What?
Dadu? I was talking to my dad today because I was going, apparently that Phantom of the Opera has been on Broadway longer than any other musical. And the one it had to surpass in order to take that title was Cats. And I was like,
also Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yeah. And so I was just like, why? Not that they're like, if Phantom of the Opera is great, I've never seen Cats. It's on our list. But I'm not sure why those two have stood the test of time.
I think, honestly, in the case of Phantom, it's the music that draws people in. Mm-hmm. With Cats, it was an interesting story, but it had this one remarkable song called Memory that just grabs people.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it's kind of just this gala, this high energy, fun performance. But that one song just carries so much emotion that it grabs people. And a lot of that's true of some of his other works as well. Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, mm-hmm. Aspects of Love, Starlight Express. They all have something that just makes them uniquely Webber.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch more Webber stuff. Just I think we talked about having an episode where we watch like five of his lesser known ones that are like not as popular, and we just rank them. I think that would be really fun to do, but it's going to be a lot of Webber.
There are going to be some really great moments in all of them, but some of them are kind of going to be a giggle fest. I'm just going to tell you.
Oh yeah, that's I can't.
We like giggle fest.
Well, speak for yourself.
So do I.
So no much laughing. Hostility about giggling.
What about a least favorite song? Is there something that makes you cringe in this musical?
No.
Okay, well.
I stopped and thought about it, and I really tried to come up with something, but the worst song in there is still really good. I'm not a fan of listening to the Phantom play the organ.
Yeah.
There's an awful lot of discord in that, and it just makes me go...
Yeah.
Okay, stopped.
You know? Yeah. Elise, what about you? Do you hate any song in this?
Do I hate any song? I really don't. I feel like you didn't like the one about wishing you were here again. I think you were bored.
Is that the one in the graveyard?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Super bored.
Yeah, you didn't like that one.
I was actually going to say that. I'm surprised my face, like, I shouldn't play poker because I gave it away that I was,
I think that was when, I think you started talking during it, and then you were like, what are we doing here? What's going on? I'm bored.
Yeah, I got super distracted during that song, to be fair.
I think you just were waiting for the drama.
Me likey drama.
Oh my God. help.
So with that song in particular, there's kind of a thread that runs through the entire musical. Early on in the musical, she introduces the concept of the angel of music that her father used to tell her about.
Right.
When she first meets him and he grabs her, brings her through the mirror, again, a little bit kidnappy, but okay.
At least he didn't give her candy.
We don't know that.
Oh, but true.
She goes along with it because she thinks that's who she's dealing with. He's been teaching her to sing. This is her angel of music.
Yeah.
And then she kind of starts to understand, no, he's creepy stalker guy.
Yeah.
What she's doing in that graveyard is she's remembering, if you listen to the lyrics of the song, she's remembering who she used to think he was and the relationship they had before he went all snatch and grab. And she's mourning the loss of the angel of music. And she's wishing that he were somehow here again.
Oh, okay.
And so that kind of really is what ties that song in.
Okay.
And it took me a couple of times to understand that. So yeah. I missed it too at first.
I think it's probably like her perception of him has been completely destroyed now that she realizes that he's freaking weird. So, yeah. So you know, it's like rest in peace, you know?
R.I. Phantom. I think maybe what my, you know, I'm not disagreeing with you guys, because I think the songs are so good, but I think part of it too is you have to be like, you can't have distractions with this musical. Like if you were mm-hmm. sitting in a theater, like this would be very like immersive. And I would totally be locked in, but it's a hard musical to watch when you got your iPhone sitting next to you, or like, you know, or you could go get a glass of water from the kitchen, you know, something. I don't know.
Yeah,
it was that
all
my
which
example.
We were guilty you know, of when we watched.
It's a hard musical to watch when you want water. What? That doesn't make any sense.
I'm sorry, I just can't watch the show thirsty.
Drink of me, whatever. Lynn, I want to do a game with you guys. Elise doesn't know I'm going to do this, but I don't know if it'll work with you because you might be too good at, you might be too familiar with this. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say some lyrics from one of the songs, and I want you to be able to name what song it's from.
I kind of feel like I should be really good at this, but may not be.
Yeah, well,
I mean, I couldn't even think of the title of the song Phantom of the Opera, I don't think this is good.
Well, I thought about not including you in this game, but then I thought it'd be really funny to have you in it anyway.
But then I did that, and you said, well,
yeah, this will be fun.
Well, here, let's start with an easy one then.
Wait, hold on a second,
Okay.
Are we raising our hands? What are we doing?
That's a good point. Maybe we didn't really
need the little Family Feud buttons.
Yeah, I don't have a buzzer.
I got five of them here. What if I give one to you and then one to Lynn and we see who gets...
Okay. See who gets more?
Yeah. So I'll give the easy one to Elise to start off with. Give her a chance.
Yeah.
Here we go. We got, you have come here for one purpose and one alone.
That's the easy one?
Yeah.
I'm gonna say that's gotta be the Angel of Music.
I don't believe so.
That's a little bit of a trick question. That's part of a recitative before a song.
Oh gosh, is
yeah,
it really?
It's a trick question,
yeah,
James.
That's before Music of the Night.
Is it really? See, that's not what my sources say.
Check your sources, man.
I think I just lost this game. In Music of the Night, aren't they?
No, it says it's
or post post Phantom.
Yeah, post Phantom. It was near the end of the Phantom.
Yeah,
the
you're right. Song. It's post Phantom because that's the I have brought you to the seat of sweet music's throne bit. You just found my least favorite song.
Wow. Okay, well, Elise, you get 0 points. Lynn. Here's a good one for you. Let's see. Fool and King, Ghoul and Goose. Ghoul and Goose.
What? Let me
redo that again.
I know this one.
Fool and King, Ghoul and Goose.
I know this one.
Masquerade?
Oh, yep. There you go.
See, I would have gotten that one.
How would you get that
one?
I knew
random.
That one. That
yes.
was easy.
Well, okay, at least
Fool
if it's
King
so easy.
If it's got Goose in it, it's got to be Masquerade.
Why was that scene full of geese? I don't remember that.
Because your mask, you could be anything.
Oh, well, yeah. You should take another gander at it.
Oh, gosh. Zing. That joke was foul.
Oh, help.
Okay, Elise, here we go. Let's give you one. Flowers fade, the fruits of summer fade, they have their seasons, so do we.
That's gotta be...
Wait, don't guess. Let me sing it a little for you.
Oh, well, why didn't you say so?
Flowers fade, the fruits of summer fade, they have their seasons, so do we.
But if...
Mm-hmm. You can spare a moment.
Anything.
Elise gets 0 points. Oh, think of me. There you go.
I know. I just needed to get there.
Una, okay, we're tied, guys. I never thought this would happen on this amazing game show I created.
Just based on those first three, I'm not at all confident that I'm going to get this one.
Yeah. That's okay.
It's a harder game than I thought.
Let's do this one. Lynn, this is for you. Passerino, go away, for the trap is set and waits for his prey.
Wow. Past the point of no return.
I don't know if that's the name of the song, but that sounds right.
Point of no return is the name of the song.
Okay.
It's the highlight of Don Juan Triumphant.
Yes, that's what Don Juan, that's what I had written down. But I remembered, that has point of no return in that song. So, yeah.
Yeah, guys, that's the title.
I think Lynn just wins. Because it's 2-1, right? Wait, did I give you 2, Elise? Yeah, I'm the best game show host ever.
Well, the first one was, you know, a fluke.
Okay, well, so let's see if you can get this one. And then if you get it, then we just tie. So here we go. You'd never get away with all this in a play, but if it's loudly sung and in a foreign tongue, it's just the sort of story audiences adore. In fact, a perfect opera.
Can you sing it?
I don't believe I can, but maybe Lynn, can you help her out, even though you're trying to beat her in this game?
It's the same bit where they did the far too many notes for my taste, and most of them about Christine. All we've heard since we came is Miss Dye's name. And it's the lead up to Prima Donna.
Yeah, that's what I had written down as Prima Donna. I guess I got two.
They all could run actually together. Be part of the song. So.
Prima Donna.
Well, Lynn, you win. You win the episode.
I did my best.
That's all right. Welcome to We Really Like Musicals, where everything's made up and the points don't matter.
There we go. I should have tried harder.
You really should have.
Well,
try hard at this one, Elise. Who would you have gotten to replace the Phantom? Like, who's your Dreamcast Phantom?
Here's the thing, okay? The Phantom's voice is unlike anything I've ever heard in my whole life. Mm-hmm. So I can't replace him.
You can't. Well, but there's been lots of Phantoms.
Well,
so you're saying the movie version, Gerard Butler.
Yes. I mean, do you not agree with that?
Well, I mean, maybe, no, I don't. So who would you get, Lynn? If Elise says I still want Jerry Butts in there, who
Jerry
are you gonna?
Jerry Butts.
if you'll give me a moment to recover from Jerry Butts.
Nobody has a moment.
You know, I have a great one.
Okay.
So the thing about the Phantom is, you don't need the prettiest guy out there. There's no indicator of age of the Phantom. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, you know, and the mask, Mandy Patinkin.
Ah, Mandy Patinkin. So enlighten those who do not know who Mandy Patinkin is.
A lot of people these days will remember him as Gideon from Criminal Minds. Mm-hmm. For me and my generation, he will always be the man known as Inigo Montoya.
Yeah. Elise is dying laughing, I think still from Jerry Butts.
He also... yes. Has a background in Broadway and has a very good singing voice, and I have no doubt that he can hit the notes. right alongside of Jerry Butts.
You know, now that you mention him, I did. He was in Sondheim's Sunday in the Park with George. He was George.
He was indeed. He was George.
Which I didn't realize when I started watching that. I haven't finished it yet. I intend to. But I was like, oh my gosh, that's Manny Patinkin. Didn't even realize it. But that, yeah, that's a good choice. I like that dude. He's cool.
Thank you.
I picked someone that I had an idea for someone, and I said, no, I'm going to pick somebody else. And then it turns out that my original idea was actually somebody they had looked at for the role in the movie.
Very nice.
But I'll tell you, my second choice was, I actually thought of Tom Hardy. That Bane voice, I could see being very phantomy.
It fits the character, too.
It does.
Yeah.
I was born in the darkness. I can see it.
I didn't know I was going to set you up for that Bane impression. You're welcome.
It's a terrible Bane impression, by the way.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
Okay, so who would you get to do Christine?
We just live in a world where...
Oh, my gosh.
Get ready.
In a world where... Wait, no.
I would do my Bane impression, but I cannot. Okay. We live in a world where, you know, you don't hear that really, really nice, pretty opera-style singing anymore. So I just don't know. You know, I just don't know what women can bring it.
So let's say singing ability aside, who do you think would just be a good, like, if they could sing, who would you throw into that dress? Who would you put in that dress?
Come back to me.
Okay, Lynn, what about you?
That's a tough question because, you know, having seen the musical, having seen the movie, I really enjoyed the job that Emmy Rossum did in that role. And it's really hard to replace her there.
Yeah.
But all singing ability aside, I believe I'm going to have to go with, I would kind of like to go with one of the Fanning sisters, Elle or Dakota Fanning, because I think they could play the role well. I don't know if they can, or I don't know if Elle can sing a note. I know that, Dakota can, so.
Okay. I like those choices.
That's a possibility.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah, I don't know if this would work, and please don't be too hard on me, but maybe Natalie Portman?
I can see it.
I mean,
I can definitely see her playing the role.
I think at this point she'd probably be a little bit too old for that character, but I don't know. At some point she could have been, you know, the Amidala era. Elise is like, what?
I do not know.
Well, Lynn has this book you can borrow. It's Star Wars and Shakespeare.
William Shakespeare's Star Wars trilogy.
First, I just want to say that there's a guy at work, and this kid came up to me, and they were like, dude, have you seen that guy? He looks just like Raul. I hadn't seen this movie in, like, forever. Like, this was, like, a month or two ago. And I was like, who is that? And they were like, look him up. Look him up on your phone. Get him on your phone. He had long hair. That's the only similarity. He just had long hair.
And this kid
was obsessed and kept going up to him being like, dude, have you seen Phantom of the Opera? You look just like that one guy.
All right. It's time to rate my facts.
And that's a fact.
Oh, dog barking outside. Hope you guys could hear that. That's the go buzzer for the... okay.
So in the future, we never can go until we hear a dog barking?
Right. After we sing the theme song, we have to wait for a dog bark, and then we can start talking about facts.
These are going to be long podcasts from now on.
Yeah.
Bring a dog in.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the first fact. Not a super long fact, and it ties into who I had for the first choice of the Phantom, but Hugh Jackman was considered for the role. What do you think of that fact?
Oh, yeah. 100%. I see it.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Lynn?
I think I prefer him as Jean Valjean.
Yeah, I think I do too, but I kind of saw him as kind of phantomy.
Yeah.
Just because he has...
I can see it.
He has this kind of...
It would be a good choice.
Yeah, he has this kind of like creep... I think he could be like a creepy old man, kind of stalker psycho.
Oh, yeah.
Cause I'm a creep.
I'm a weirdo. I'm a Wolverine.
That should have been in this movie.
What? Just a Hugh Jackman cameo?
No, you know? Now that you mention
the song.
Yeah. No, just Hugh Jackman comes out and sings that one song, and then he leaves.
Yeah, he would have been. It would have been funny to have him in the dress. You know, when he pulls back the when the Phantom pulls back the curtain and she sees like a version of herself in a wedding dress and passes out. Just imagine Hugh Jackman would have been in the dress and she still passes out after she sees
with the claws out and a cigar. Yes.
That would be pretty awesome, actually.
I know. I would have watched it.
I'd be like, I'm intrigued.
Plot twist.
Tell me more.
So what do you rate that fact, Elise?
I'm going to rate it an 8.
Okay. Well, I win.
It's a fact rumble.
But wait. There we go. I feel like this is unfair because, okay. Lynn, do you even have any more facts? I don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't prepared.
I know.
You know? I don't particularly have any more facts. Mm. Unless you want a really bad fact about Raul.
Yeah.
Is if I were ever to be in this play, that would be the role I'd audition for.
Oh, really?
I would rate my own fact about a 2.
No, I actually was going to ask you later if you would rather play Raul or the Phantom.
I can hit all of Raul's notes.
Thumbs up.
What about you, James?
I don't know. Between those two choices, I'd probably pick the Phantom, but I don't know if I could hit his notes either. But I'd probably want to pick one of the weirder roles, like one of the new owners or something, you know?
Joseph Buchner.
Why don't you like the spotlight?
Couldn't tell you.
You just like the darkness.
I guess so. I believe in a thing called love. Oh, that was a deep cut. Nobody's going to get that joke.
Yeah, I got that joke.
I didn't.
So here's another fact. The actor who played Christine's dad in the movie, which I think is just in a flashback at some point, he has also played Raul and the Phantom in stage versions, making him the only actor to have played all three love interests. Or all three of Christine's loves, not love interests, because she did not.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we not call her father a love interest?
Yeah, no. But I mean, the three men in her life. You're fired. Let's say that. Dadgummit. Once again, I will remind you, this is a rate my fact, not my presentation of the fact.
I can't help it.
I think that one's fair. I'm sorry.
Okay. It does kind of change what the fact means.
Boy, does it.
Do you understand what the fact is now?
Yes. Because it made me barf a little bit, I'd give it a 2.
I thought that was a really interesting fact, though. Dadgummit.
Just next time, try not to mess up.
Yeah, I will.
You will mess up?
Probably. Yeah. All right, well, here's one. That you, Lynn, you can play along. I'm going to give you three facts, and one of them's a fake. So this is fact or faked.
Fact or faked. I don't know.
And that's a fact. Here we go. So here are your three options. We have all exterior shots of the opera house in the movie were actually a dollhouse. We have the theater fire was a real fire when they filmed it. They really destroyed the theater. And we have Prince wanted to be the Phantom in a film version after seeing it on Broadway. So there are your three facts. We have a dollhouse, we have a actual fire, and we have Prince.
So knowing just the personality of Prince and knowing how movies do miniatures, I'm going to have to say that... That the fire is the faux fact.
Fire is the faux fact.
Dude, he just did the
fantastic.
Who wants to be a millionaire thing. Like
the
he like
deduction.
Yeah, he like talked through just the way they always do. That was perfect.
Well, Elise, it's your turn.
Well, that's what I was gonna say, but should I pick a different one?
Well, I don't. It would be kind of anticlimactic if you were both wrong or right.
Don't.
I'll go with the fire then.
So you're both going with the fire.
Yeah. We didn't start the fire.
It was always burning since the world's been turning.
Yeah. Guys, this theater fire, it was a real fire. Joel Schumacher wanted realism, so they destroyed the theater for that scene.
Well, you know,
what?
Knowing it was Joel Schumacher and not Michael Bay went into my decision process there.
Gotcha. But no, yeah, that really happened. Also, you were right in your deduction about the dollhouse. All exterior shots were actually a dollhouse. And like little miniature, like they put in, like if you see the Phantom standing on top of the opera house when they zoom out, it's like they just CGI'd him in there. But they put little footprints on it. That's so like little footprints in the snow. That was actually like little tiny, like somebody made little tiny footprints
in the snow.
But anyways, so obviously that means our fake fact was that Prince wanted to be the Phantom. Actually, that fact is Michael Jackson wanted to be the Phantom. That is true.
The logic would have worked the same way. On yeah, that
for sure. But I can't imagine Michael Jackson as the Phantom. Is that just me, or?
I mean, that'd be pretty scary.
I can, however, imagine Prince as the Phantom. It would just really add an element of the bizarre.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say you can imagine Michael Jackson just because of the whole, like, abducting a kid.
Oh, boy. Too soon.
Oh, that's not the direction I would have gone.
Too soon.
That's ridiculous.
But I think that the Phantom has to have that element of, like, you know, very, like, manly and very, like...
Yeah, machismo. The Prince and Michael Jackson don't really give off this machismo. There's a different sort of swagger.
They don't really bring the gravitas to the role.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
Well, eventually we'll get to... we'll watch The Wiz, and Michael Jackson was the Scarecrow in that, which that was a good role for Michael Jackson, but I just don't see him as...
That's a really entertaining movie.
Yeah, yeah. We're actually going... I think we're going to do an episode of The Wizard of Oz versus The Wiz. Which one did it better? I don't even know if we'll say which one did it better, but just which, I don't know, compare and contrast, pros and cons.
Compare songs and scenarios.
Yeah.
Like, do you prefer Follow the Yellow Brick Road?
Hey, songs and scenarios.
Oh, that's a good, we're going to steal that from you. That's a segment, songs
that's
and scenarios.
That's ours now, so.
Go for it.
You said it on the podcast. It's TM, trademark.
Right.
I have something to say. We were very disturbed and bothered by the fact that when the Phantom is wearing the mask, the distortion is completely covered and everything's fine. And then the mask comes off and it's like the distortion goes all the way up to his hairline and he's balding.
Yes. There was.
So we don't understand this.
Yeah, there was a moment in, and I kept saying that, like, he was wearing different size masks in the movie. And I said, where is his deformity? Like, I don't see it. I should be able to see some hint of it. And then you were like, no, it's all behind the mask.
Yeah,
but then when she rips off the mask, and I mean, this only really applies to the movie version, because I don't see this necessarily being a problem in the staged version. But when she rips off the mask in the movie, all of a sudden he's got gray hair, he's balding. I mean, that the deformity is way on the side of his face where the mask wasn't even covering. Don't really quite understand that, but I did say that I gave the excuse that, you know, there was that hallway she walks down to his lair, she pictures it a lot differently. She's kind of under the spell, so maybe that was still us seeing him just in this sort of like hypnotized sort of way, and then she rips off the mask, and Elise, you are frantically shaking your head. You do not agree.
I don't, because everybody else sees him the same way, and it just all happens in one moment. Like, literally, she removes the mask, he freaks out, and then all of a sudden he's got white hair.
I don't know. Lynn, can you lend some, I don't know, what do you have to say about that? Because that, obviously, I don't think it applies to the stage version.
Actually, if you look at the makeup in the stage version, there's this great shot in the that came in that little CD book you mentioned of Michael Crawford without the mask on, but with the makeup on.
Mm-hmm.
And it covers from forehead all the way down to chin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very extensive. So it was, you're right, it was kind of an artistic choice for the movie that they could just play around with the size and the scope of the masks.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like the way they did it, he could have just had like a little monocle over his eye and they would have been like, yeah, the deformity's behind that, I swear. I don't know.
Maybe it doesn't even exist when he has the mask on, you know? It's like a magic mask. Sucks all the deformity in. Then when it comes off, it grows.
It's bigger on the inside.
It's probably what it is.
I see what you did there.
Yes, Time Lord technology.
That's right.
Yep,
Who knew that the Phantom was from Gallifrey?
We are geeking out right now.
So
not me.
Hard.
Okay,
that is
so
one bad
Elise,
wolf. I'm just saying.
Elise, while we continue to geek out, why don't you rate this sucker? What do you give that Phantom?
There it is. I say that I rate this movie an 8.5.
I would call that a 17 on a scale of 20.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I can see where you would go with that.
Yeah. Okay. That's pretty high up there. You know, I feel like for the most of the musicals we've done so far have had pretty high ratings. We haven't really come across any that are just complete garbage yet. Okay. So, but in an 8.5, that's a high rating.
Oh yeah.
So you really enjoyed it then. I can't talk. Another mouth seizure.
I really enjoyed it. You always have your mouth seizures. Mm-hmm. I really did enjoy it. I think that there are, I mean, I it really does bother me, the face thing. That really bothers me. I can't get over it. So I had to deduct
points. Yeah, but like we said, I think that's more of a movie thing than actual.
No. Hate it.
So that leads me to the question. Was it the Phantom half of the face that bothered you, or was it the Gerard Butler half?
Well, I like the Gerard Butler.
Was it Jay Butts?
I love Jerry Butts, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, just who doesn't love Butts? I mean, really. He's great. I mean, have you seen The 300?
The
300.
I am Phantom. Anyways, so.
This is Paris. I really like musicals. And that having been said, there's only two musicals that I rate absolutely at the very top. And they are Les Miserables and Phantom of the Opera.
Gotcha.
So I give it a 10.
Whoa. Nice.
Now, what is it? Just, I mean, every song is a home run. The plot is perfect. I mean,
the style of the musical, the way they did it, they took a musical about opera, made it into kind of a mini opera. There's very few lines of spoken dialogue. It's all in the opera world. It would be called aria and recitative. So it's all either full songs or sung dialogue. The originality of the songs, the way that they tie the story together completely through, there's just so much that was done well. And then the songs are just knockouts.
I think this is really one of those musicals where it's like, if you like to sing along and like pretend you're in a musical, this is like your perfect musical. Because you can sit, you can pretend you're the soloist in every single song, you know? So, okay, we got an 8.5, we got a 10. Let me...
now it's all you.
I, you know what? I think I'm going to give it an 8. I know that's the lowest out of all of us, but I just feel like maybe it's just my personality. I just want it to be a little more upbeat. Not that it's a bad thing for it to be slow. Like you said, all the songs are great. I don't know. I just want to get punched in the face.
Is it not enough for you when he just screams his music?
You were kind of looking for Phantom of the Arena Rock concert?
Yeah, that vibe all the way through.
It's a whole different show. I don't think they could actually write that show now because it would have had to have been Freddie.
Yeah.
Mercury.
Freddie Mercury.
Freddie Mercury.
He would have been a good Phantom.
Yes. Right? Yes, he would. He would have been phenomenal.
But yeah, no, I give it an 8. There's not much I would change about the plot. I think it's a great plot. The whole love triangle they got going on, I think that's great. Very interesting. And it's all the reactions, I feel like, are real world, how it would actually play out. If I was writing this, I would have a tendency to make her end up with, I would want her to end up with the Phantom or something, you know? But they don't do that. And I think that was a very smart choice, I guess.
Yeah, first time I watched it, I wanted her to be with the Phantom.
I think you wanted him to, or you wanted Christine to end up with the Phantom, though. I think a lot of that has to do with Gerard Butler being a handsome man that's fairly young looking. I think he was like 36 or something when they filmed it. So like not super old. But then you look at like, because there was an old black and white version of Phantom of the Opera where he's just like terrifying looking. And there's no like little, there's no sense of like he could have ever been a handsome young man, you know?
Yeah, but in that version, when she reaches over and snatches that mask off and he just looks at the camera like,
yeah,
I can't help but crack up.
We'll post that as a GIF on Twitter. So follow us on Twitter if you want to see that GIF.
Slow-mo.
Well,
cool.
Okay, well, I think we're done. We've talked to a great extent about the Phantom of the Opera.
Wait, I have one more question.
For me? Please be for me.
For both of you. I want to know, on a scale from 1 to 10, how much you pity the Phantom.
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, I go straight up 10. I really do pity him. I think he's got a sweet heart. I think he goes about it the wrong way, you know, but I think it's justified.
I mean, he kills
because
people, so, yeah.
Well, but I mean, there's a sense of justice when he kills people, you know, because you see his backstory of like getting beaten.
Oh, so how much do I pity the Phantom? Okay. Reference joke coming in 5, 4, things go to 11.
I like it. Elise, way over your head. So I would give it a 10 pittiness, 11 oh. pittiness from Len. Do you pity the Phantom? I pity the Phantom.
Yes. He's so yeah. Pity. Yeah. I pity him. I mean, I wish, you know, wish I could mentor him, help him out.
Aww.
You know, and show them that we don't have to murder people. It's okay. Let's just talk this out, buddy.
I totally caught just the Fred Rogers vibe there. We don't have to murder. It's all right. We can just be neighbors.
Well, that's probably how I would approach it.
It's a beautiful day in the opera house.
On my sweater.
It's a beautiful day in the put down the knife.
So speaking of killing people, I know we were about to wrap
I'm
this up,
interested.
But Elise and I were talking about like that when, Raul goes down to the lair, what's her face? The old lady, I forget her name, but
Madame
she comes
Giri.
Up and says, keep your hand at the level of your eyes. We didn't know why. We didn't get it, but now it makes sense. I don't know, Elise, do you get it yet?
So that you can always so. Make sure that you are looking at your thumb.
No.
Thumbs up.
Lynn, do you know why?
In the scene where Joseph Bouquet is describing the Phantom and trying to scare the dancers, he reminds them that he will catch them with his magical lasso, which is the whole point. You raise your hand to the level of your eyes because if the lasso slips over your head, it won't choke you.
Yes.
Because it will be around your hand and there's
they never
space
really,
there.
Yeah, they never really explain that except for that when Raul eventually gets the noose around his neck, the Phantom's like, ha ha, should have kept your hand up by your eyes.
Order your fine horses now.
Yes.
Yeah. He's a nuisance.
No noose is good noose.
Man, the jokes keep coming and they don't stop coming.
Back to the noose, and I had my hand up on the level of my eyes. Okay, I think we're going to wrap this up. Guys, follow us on Twitter. What are you doing if you're not? Follow us at WRLM Podcast, and we talk about alternate movie titles every week. You can also follow us on Instagram, and we do the same thing at We Really Like Musicals. Lisa's saying, wait.
We've got to talk about what movie we're doing next.
I know, I was about to say that.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I thought you had forgotten.
No, we're going to do next week. We're doing Chicago.
Oh, good choice.
Yes. I'm very excited about watching Chicago. I've only seen it once. And I remember once it was over, I thought that was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. And this has been We Really Like Musicals and We Have Opinions About Them. So we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses, the musicals. Thanks, Lynn. Thanks for being on the show.
It was my pleasure. It was a lot of fun.
And I am James Brown. And with me always
is Elise.
All right. Thanks. See you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Emmy, we aren't in Kansas anymore.
Musicals. Jazz.